Okay, so this is a topic we've done before, but it's such a classic topic in terms of Minhagim, Gzeiros, Drabanans, Daraisas, that it's fascinating, and we're going to revisit it right now. And the issue we're going to revisit is the prohibition on kitnios on Pesach. Now, let's say at the start, it's a much bigger deal in Israel than it is in Chutz La'aretz, I think. You know, most of you don't get invited for lunch at Sfardim. You don't really feel like kitnios is separating you from other parts of Klal Yisrael. And certainly, correct me if I'm wrong, you don't go to the supermarket or to wherever you shop. You don't see a lot of things labeled kosher la'ochle kitnios bilvad. But in Israel, tons of things are labeled that way because there are tons of Sfardim and tons of Sfardim who are careful about kashrus on Pesach. And so it's become a much bigger deal here. The push to be matir kitnios, which, by the way, nobody's doing, and I don't think anybody should do, but the idea that, shouldn't we all have the same rules and shouldn't we all live by the same rules and should we all be able to eat together? It's becoming a bigger issue in Israel than it is outside of Israel. I think, the push for Achdus is a nice idea. It really is. You know, whether you need organizations like the Kitnios Liberation Army, I'm not so sure about. But okay, so let's start at the beginning. And the beginning and the point that everybody has to agree on is that kitnios are not chametz. Anybody who tells you, "Oh, I makbid on kitnios because it's an issur d'oraisa," is a complete am haaretz. There's no such thing. Nobody thinks that kitnios is an issur d'oraisa. Nobody thinks that kitnios has a chashash chametz. Well, I shouldn't say, I should be careful about that. But practically speaking, there are only five things in halacha. They're called the chameshes minei dagan, the five types of grain. Only those things can make matzah, and only things that can make matzah can make chametz, right? The halachic definition of matzah is aborted chametz. Had I let the process play out, this thing would have become chametz, right? So if I leave rice out, it's not going to rise, it's not going to ferment, it's not going to become chametz. And therefore, the problems that we have with chametz and the chumros that we have with chametz don't apply to kitnios. Everybody agrees that that's the fact. Now let's prove it. It just to make the point. Here we go. Says the Mishnah in Psachim, in source number one, Eilu Devarim Shadam Yotzei Yidei Chovato BePesach. What's that? Okay. These are the things that you can make matzah out of, right? That's what it means. Eilu Devarim Shadam Yotzei Yidei Chovato BePesach. This is what you can make matzah out of. Chitim Seorim Kusmin Shipon VeShibol. The five types of grain. Says the Gemara, Hani in these five grains you can make matzah out of. Orez v'dochan lo, but rice and millet you cannot make matzah out of. Minahani mili, how do I know this? Rav Shimon ben Lakish v'chein tana d'vei Rabbi Yishmael v'chein tana d'vei Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Amar Kra, the pasuk says lo sochal alav chametz shivas yamim tochal alav matzos. Right, the Gemara connects chametz and matzah, and the Gemara makes the following drasha. Devarim haba'im lidei chimutz, things that can become chametz, adam yotzei bahen yidei chovato b'matzah. If it can become chametz, then you can make matzah out of it. Yatzu elu, it excludes she'ein ba'im lidei chimutz, el lidei sirachon. Those things which cannot become chametz, no matter how long you leave them out, no matter how long water touches them, elu de sirachon, but they can be spoiled. Now, says the Gemara, Masnisin delo k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Wait, this doesn't accord with the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. De Amar Orez min dagan hu. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, in fact, paskins that Orez, rice, is a type of grain. V'chayavin al chimutzo kares, and if you ate it on Pesach, you'd be over an issur d'oraisa and you get kares. D'tani Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri oser ba'orez v'dochan mipnei shekarov lahachmit. So it's true. There is a sheet of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri that orez is one of the five grains and can become chametz, but it is rejected. It's rejected in the Gemara Psachim Kuf Yudalad Amud Bet in source number 2. Am Ravashi Shma Minad Rav Huna Les Dechayish Laha De Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri. Nobody is choshesh for the Shita of Rav Yochanan Ben Nuri that kidneys are chametz. Nobody, and that's how the Rambam paskins. Source number 3. Ein asur mishum chametz bePesach, ela chameshes mine dagon bilvad. The only things that are asur mitam chametz on Pesach are the five types of grain. Vehein shnei mine chitim, two types of wheat. Shema chitava hakusemes u'shlosha mine hasorim, and three types of barley. Shein hasorav v'shibola shuol v'hashipon. Now says the Rambam, aval hakitnios, but with respect to kitnios. Kigon orez vidochan upulim va'adashim mukiyotze bahen. But when it comes to kidneys, like rice and millet and all types of beans and things like that, ein bahen mishum chametz, there is no iser chametz, there is no chashash chametz, elo afilu lash kemach orez ukiyotze boboroschin, right? If you cooked rice in water, Vikiso bibigadim, and you covered it, and you let it rise, ad shenit pateach kimo batzeg shehichmitz, right? Exactly, so it looks like regular chametz that rose. Harezem mutar ba'achila, it's mutter to eat it on Pesach. She'ein zech chimutz, it looks like the process of fermentation, but it's not. Rather, ela sirachon, it's spoilage. That's not how you make rice. That's not how we relate to rice. Now, you might think, okay, the Rambam's a Sephardi posek, so he says that because he eats rice on Pesach. No, no, all Ashkenazi poskim agree with the Rambam. There is no risk of chametz when it comes to rice on Pesach. Okay, that's our starting point. Okay, so if that's the case, why don't we eat kidneys on Pesach? Now you come to really one of the most fascinating things in halacha, right? Everybody knows that Ashkenazim don't eat kidneys on Pesach, and it's true. But nobody can find where the Isser comes from. Nobody can find whether there was originally a Beis Din that made a gzeira that said, okay, but we're, for the following reasons, we're going to disallow kidneys on Pesach. Or whether it just started as a minog in a certain community and it spread widely. The fact is, Ashkenazim do not eat kidneys. The fact is, that's how it's recorded in halacha. But the history of it is really kind of, you know, cloudy, and it's not clear at all. So if we start reading the English, there's a sefer called the Smak, the Sefer Mitzvot Katan. It was wildly popular in the 1200s in France, and it spread beyond that. Right? Why was it so popular? Because the Sefer Mitzvot Katan only dealt with mitzvot that apply to us. So a significant percentage of Jews learned the Smak every morning. Okay, it was so popular that it's hard to know which is the Smak, Rav Yitzchak ben Yosef from Corbel in France, who lived, again, from 1210 to 1280. It's hard to know what the Smak wrote and what constitute notes on the Smak. So, for example, Rav Peretz ben Elio, who lived around 1300, who was younger than the Smak, wrote a whole bunch of comments on the Smak. It's hard to know what he wrote and what the Smak wrote. Okay, but either way, what's in the Smak is, you know, so either it's from the earlier 1200s or it's from 1300, right? Rabbeinu Peretz was one of the last of the Balei HaTosfos. And here's what we find in the mixed text in source number 4. He says, Mihu, kashe hadavar me'od lehatir davar. It's very, very hard to be matir something. Shenohagim bo ha'olam iser. Mimei chachamim hakadmonim. So says the Smak, it's very, very difficult now to be matir something. He's talking about kidneys. You'll see that in a second. Where the minhag is not to be matirit, and the minhag is mimei chachamim hakadmonim. Now, I don't really know, you know, as a technical matter, what that means. Who are Chachamim Kadmonim when the Smak says so? But I'm thinking to myself, if he says it's a very, very old minhag in the 1200s, so it must have existed in the 1100s, it must have existed in the 1000s. You know, maybe it's from the 900s, from the end of the Gaonic period. I don't know. But the Smak talks about it as if it's a very old and widespread minhag. Now, what else do you see in the Smak? And this I find fascinating. And all those who want to get rid of kidney oats should find comfort in this. Anybody? When the Smak says, Kasheh hadavar ma'od lahatir, right? It means Jews were whining about kidney oats in the 1200s. It's not a modern thing. It's not like we think to ourselves now, it'd be so great to have rice on Pesach. In the 1200s, 1,000 years ago, Jews wanted the Isser of kidney oats rolled back. And the Smak said, I can't do it. De mistama, second line, lo nahagu bo Isser machmas chimutz atzmo. The Smak says it's true. There's no way they made the Isser of kidney oats because of chametz. Deloto bidava shatino kochel beit rabban shelamdu halacha yodim. They would not have made a mistake that any child who knows halacha knows already. What's that? Deika behedya bipsachim de'ein ba lidei chimutz ki'im mehei haminim. He's quoting the Mishnah and the Gemara that we saw together. It's in fact not chametz. You can't make matzah out of rice. Therefore, rice cannot become chametz. Ulekach nira lekayem haminhag v'le'esor kol kidney oats bepesach. Since there's every reason to believe that the people who made the Isser to begin with knew the fact that rice cannot become chametz, and they made the gzeira anyway, or they upheld the minhag anyway. He doesn't say which one it is. So therefore, I'm not going to roll back the minhag. V'lo machmat chimutz atzmo. Everybody knows that kidney oats is not chametz. Ki ta'ot hu lo markein. It would be completely wrong to say that that's the case. Ela mitam gzeirahu. So that's an important line, because the Smak is saying it wasn't just a minhag that developed among Ashkenazi Jews. It was a gzeira. Now, he doesn't say who made the gzeira, and it's too bad that he doesn't. Maybe he doesn't know. You know, it'd be fascinating to know whose fault it is that we don't eat kidney oats. But nevertheless, he says, so what was the purpose behind the gzeira? So he says, dikei von de kidney oats ma'ase kidei rahu. He says, the problem with kidney oats is that they're cooked in a pot. V'daga nami ma'ase kidei rahu. Right? Regular chametz is also cooked in a pot. Kedaisa. And so therefore, ihavi sharin on kidney oats, he thinks the gzeira is for the following reason. If I permit cooking rice on Pesach, and rice looks so much like chametz, and you know it also, right? On Pesach, when you want to have rice, it's because rice is filling in a way that, you know, potato flour is not. So he says, osi le'ichlufe ulahatir daisa, right? People might say to themselves, well, if I'm allowed to eat rice and cook rice, then I'm allowed to, you know, to cook farina and all other things from the five grains. Kevan di'idi v'idi ma'isek derehu, one, the same process applies to both of them. V'gam midi demidgan hu kimocha mesh saminim. And because rice is filling, just like the five grains have a sense of filling you up. You know, I can't explain the chemical process, but when you eat wheat, you know, it sits in your stomach. When you eat rice, it sits in your stomach. So says the Smak, because of that reason, because rice and the chameshes mine dagon are sometimes interchangeable. So as a result, the gzeira came about, or the gzeira was made, that we don't want people confusing rice and the chameshes mine dagon, even though we're 1,000% sure that rice cannot become chametz. Therefore, we don't eat kidney oats on Pesach. Okay, so that's the basic point. Everybody with me? Good. But there's another approach. The other approach, I think, can be seen in the tour and maybe in the Beis Yosef. The tour says, again, the tour is a Sfardi, right? Now, he's a son of the Rush, who we don't necessarily think of as a Sfardi, but the Rush moved from Germany to Spain, and the tour grew up in Spain. And when he wrote the tour, people see the tour as being a Sfardi Sefer. And so source number five says the tour, Yesh noagim levarer hachitin echad echad me'achilat achbar, v'yesh omrim she'en tzarech. Right? His position is, even people who eat chitim, and this is true of Sfardim, certainly in Israel, I assume in America also, that there is a risk. And therefore, they sift their rice grain that you could buy on Pesach if you're a Sfardi. They sift it to make sure, you know, they look at every grain to make sure that there's no wheat in it. Now, where does this come from? It comes from a basic, you know, a basic fact of agriculture, and that is what we know of as crop rotation, right? Somebody realized at some point, I don't know when, but it's before the year 1000, that fields will be better if you don't grow wheat every single year in the same field, right? It kind of sucks up the same nutrients and the same richness in the soil. You're much better off planting wheat one year and planting rice the next year and planting potatoes the third year and, you know, and taking a year off at some point. That's much better for your field. And so what happened was you'd have a field that grew wheat. Okay, now the next year, apparently rice is something similar to wheat, but it uses different nutrients. And therefore, the next year, people devoted their field to growing rice. But wheat comes up if you planted it in the previous winter. So it doesn't come up in huge quantities, but some stuff is left over and some stuff grows the next year. And so the gzeira of kitnios for the tour is for chametz purposes. It's not because anybody thinks rice is chametz, but they're concerned either that rice was grown in a field that had wheat and some stalks of wheat may be included in the rice. You know, when they harvest the rice, they just harvest the whole field. And so when you get the rice at home, you have to pick out because maybe there's actual wheat included in your rice flour. And wheat obviously is an issur d'oraisa and it's also b'mashehu. So therefore, you know, you have to pick them out. The other nusach of this concern is not because of crop rotation, but it's because often people store rice together with wheat.
To give my guy something.
In some strange way. And so therefore, it's possible for wheat to get into the rice that you're buying on Pesach or the rice that you're buying before Pesach. Therefore, unrelated to the gzeira of kidneyos, you should sift your grain to make sure that, God forbid, a mashahu of wheat didn't get included in your grain, in your rice grain. And the Beis Yosef sort of understands.
That was the original issue problem with.
Say again, please.
That was the original issue with quinoa before they were able to acid, you know, to ensure that the wheat wouldn't drift into the quinoa.
Okay. Right, there are things that you aser not because you think the thing itself is chametz, but because you think that the thing itself could have been mixed with chametz. The Beis Yosef.
Is that how we get to corn?
No, I.
Why don't we use corn or green beans or any of these things?
I don't know. There's two separate questions. There's the gzeira itself, and then there's what is included in the gzeira.
They dress so the roof, guys. Here, I got to bring them up to Matthew's room. Okay.
Sorry, David, we can hear you. Sorry. I don't really, we'll talk about it in a second. What's included in the gzeira? It's a separate question, but I'll be honest with you. I don't really know. Okay, but we'll come back to that.
Thank you.
But look at the Beis Yosef in source number six. The Beis Yosef says, V'yesh osrin le'achol orez v'chol mine kitnios. And he says, like a regular Sephardi post, like v'chumro yisera huzo. It's an unnecessary stringency. Pesach is hard enough, says the Beis Yosef. You don't have to worry about kidneys. Gam Rabbeinu Yerucham Kosav Osam Shenagu Shlo Lechol Orez umine kitnios mavushal bepesach minhag shtus hu, Rabbeinu Yerucham, who was an Ashkenazi. What's his name? Who wrote the Siddur? No. Rav Yaakov Emden, or the other person I was confusing with, right? His son wrote publicly, I beg you to roll back, you know, the chiv of kidneyos. My father was very pained by the fact that Ashkenazim don't need kidneyos. There's no reason for it. Okay, there are voices, you know, in favor of getting rid of the Isser, but they've not been accepted. Okay? So here you have Rabbeinu Yerucham says it's a stupid minhag, but nevertheless it is. Right? So basically Rabbeinu Yerucham says, if somebody tells you, oh my God, kidneyos on Pesach, that's chametz, so that's amaratzus, that's stupid. He says, but there are people who are makbid or nervous or careful not to eat kidneyos on Pesach because of practical reasons, presumably either the reason of crop rotation or the reason of storage, of confusing, you know, rice with grains and having a tiny bit of the grain in the rice. Rabbeinu Yerucham says, I don't see why people are so machmir for this. Okay, but that's the explanation. So again, nobody, and I repeat this, nobody thinks that kidneys represent any kind of chashash of chametz. They're a gzera, or they're a minhag. There's some that we've accepted. And, you know, we could argue, and certainly people do, about the idea of accepting it. But the fact of the matter is, it's already been accepted. Now we look at the Shulchan Aruch, and here we'll see how the halach is codified. Source number 7. Eilu divarim sheyotzim b'hayim yidei chovat matzah. These are the things that you can make matzah out of. This is the mechaber, obviously. B'chitim b'sorim b'kusman b'shubula shu'al b'shipon. Okay, and then just as a separate thing, but it's an interesting halacha, says the mechaber, v'amenog likach l'chatchila chitim. Right? If you can eat wheat, then you should eat regular matzah. You know, it's true, there are people who are sick, there are people who can't digest it, and they eat, you know, at $60 a pound or something, they eat, you know, they eat spelt matzah, and they eat matzah made from other grains. But he says, l'chatchila, you know, if you're fine, you shouldn't eat spelt matzahs just because they taste better. I don't know if they do or not. We once had a seder with somebody who had an allergy, and she didn't let us eat her matzah because it was so wildly expensive. It really is. How much is matzah now?
$36 a pound.
$30 to $40.
That's where you buy it. Haredim is $80 a pound.
Okay. Or whatever you're paying for wheat matzah, you know, double it for spelt matzah. Okay? Anyway, there is such a thing. Just pointing out, lechatchila, you should eat regular matzah. Now, says the mechaber in the end of the second line, avalo ba'orez ushar mine kidneyos. But you can't use rice for your matzah. And also, v'gam einam ba'im lidei chimutz. They also can't become chametz. Umutar la'asot mehem tafshil. And says the mechaber, it's mutter to cook them. Now, I don't think he means it's mutter to cook them. I think he means it's mutter to cook them and to eat them. Okay, now, Hagah, the Ramah comes. And he says, I'm sorry, but v'yesh osrim, there are those. It's strange how he formulates it, right? There are those who prohibit eating kidneys. V'haminhag ba'ashkenaz lehachmir ve'ein leshanot. The minhag in our neighborhood, in Krakow, and in amongst Ashkenazi Jews, is to be machmir for kidneys, and you shouldn't change that minhag. Now, it's just interesting to me. When the Ramah says, you know, what Zman Kriyashma is, he doesn't say Ve'ein L'shanot. When the Ramah says what's Asur on Shabbos, he doesn't say Ve'ein L'shanot. Why does he do it here? Come on. Anyone?
Because there were people complaining.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Because in the 1500s, people were yelling at the Ramah, you shouldn't prohibit this. And the Ramah says, sorry, it's prohibited. Ve'ein l'shanot. Okay, so the good news is, again, for all the people who are angry about the minhag of kidneyos, they should know. Minhag avoseinu biyadeinu. Ashkenazi Jews have been angry at the minhag of kidneyos for 1,000 years. And certainly they were angry at the minhag of kidneyos in the 1500s in Krakow. And that's why the Rama wrote, Ve'ein l'shanot. But now you come to something that's important halachically, certainly for Ashkenazim who live in Israel, but generally also for other people. Mihu, he says, Pashut. I'm 3 lines from the end of source number 7. It's simple, he says. De'ein osrim b'di'eved im naflu tocha tavshil. He says, if it should happen that some rice falls into your kasher l'Pesach soup, it doesn't make it asur. It's not chametz. It's true, l'chatchila, we don't eat it. But it's not chametz. V'chein, similarly, mutar lahadlik bishmanim an asim mehem, you can light candles with oil made out of kidneyos. V'einan asurim im naflu l'toch hatapshil. And if the oil drips into your food by accident, it doesn't asur your food. Most importantly, he says, v'chein, mutar lahashot minei kidneyot babayit. Our whole crazy minhag of throwing out anything that has safek kidneyos in it, he says, ridiculous. It's not chametz. It's not an iser of bal yirah or bal yimotzeh. You don't have to sell. You don't have to get rid of, you know, all your oils and all your spices and all the things that you might have in your pantry. You don't have to get rid of on Pesach. Everybody know you could store rice in your house on Pesach. People are like, oh my God, that's rice. Yeah, that's rice. Can you make matzah out of it? No, you can't. If you can't make matzah out of it, it's not chametz. It's true. We don't eat it on Pesach. We're careful for good reasons, for bad reasons. We're careful because our grandparents and their grandparents and their grandparents before them also didn't eat kidneyos on Pesach. But they didn't throw them out. They didn't sell them. They didn't do anything with them. They let them sit in the closet. Okay, so if you're afraid that if it's in the pantry, you know, somebody's going to come and take the rice and eat it on Pesach. Okay, so cover up your pantry. So separate it. So put kidneyos like people do together with chametz. But don't think for a second that kidneyos are chametz. Okay, now, why does this matter so much for me as opposed to you? Now, I want to be careful here because my wife is sitting here and she might hear this kula. And she might not like it. But let's say you're in Israel for Pesach. I don't know what it's like in America. Let's say you're in Israel for Pesach. And let's say you go into a supermarket and you see, you know, the yogurts and you see the iced tea and you see chips and things like that. And they're labeled, you know, kosher lePesach laochle kidneyos bilvad. Now, what's in iced tea? I don't know. But let's say there's 2% corn syrup in iced tea. And that's why it's la'ochle kidneyos bilvad. What are you going to do with it? So leave that, because I'm jumping ahead of myself because I wanted to make a point, but now we're going to wait. Go to source number 8. Here's the Chaya Adam. The Chaya Adam was 200 years after the Rama. He was the posek in Ashkenaz. He was in Krakow as well. So now you're talking the 16 or the 1700s. Says the Chaya Adam, this is an incredible distinction and a subtle difference between Delraises and Derabbanans, but this is really practical as well. Source number 8, says the Chaya Adam, Aval, Davar shetiknu chazal, o afilu hageonim shebizmanenu, la'asot siyag v'geder la'torah. He's talking about kidneyos. He's saying, let's say that Chazal in our time, who Chazal are in our time, I don't know, but let's say they made a gzera. You can't eat kidneyos. Azai asur lishanot belav deoraisa. Says the Chaya Adam, it would be an iser deoraisa to disagree with the gzera of Chazal. Dichsiv lo tasur min adavar ashi yigidu lecha yamin usmol. You can't reject the authority of Chazal. Now he says the obvious. Afal pi she'ein zel iser d'rabbanan le'inyan safek. Right? If you had a question whether something was chametz or not, and it was made of kidneyos, then sveka d'rabbanan l'kula. Right? Everybody knows that kidneyos is a gzeir d'rabbanan, so it's l'kula. But the gzeira itself, he says, is d'oraisa. What does that mean? So I'll give you an example from a recent holiday. Okay, let's say somebody drinks to excess on Purim night, and basically he's in bed the whole next day on Purim. Okay, and it happens to be that the day passes and he doesn't hear Megillah. So that is an Issur d'Rabbanan, right? Chazal were koveya, maybe it's Medivrei Kabbalah, but Chazal were koveya that there's a mitzvah to hear the Megillah on Purim. And this guy missed the mitzvah d'Rabbanan of hearing Megillah on Purim. Okay? And I think the Chai Adam would agree with that. However, if on Purim you say, who are Chazal who told me I have to listen to the Megillah on Purim? I'm not listening to Chazal. If it's not in the Torah, I don't accept it as a binding halacha. Says the Chaye Adam, that's an Isser d'Oraisa. Now you're rejecting the authority of Chazal, even though the mitzvah itself is only Drabanan. Rejecting the authority of Chazal is d'Oraisa, right? That it doesn't happen that often, but that's something we should be careful with. Let's assume for argument's sake that Zman Kriya Shema is a Drabanan. I'm not 100% sure. So, okay, let's say, you know, it's a late Motzei Shabbos. It's really, really late. You're exhausted. And you're thinking, okay, I don't have to get up in the morning. And you say to yourself, well, I happen to know that Zman Kriya Shema is at 8:30, but I'm setting my alarm for 9:30 because I want to sleep in. That might be an Isser d'Oraisa because you're rejecting Chazal. If it happens to be that you sleep through Zman Kriya Shema on a Sunday morning, that's an Issur d'Rabbanan. But if you lechatchila plan to sleep in because you don't believe in the importance of Zman Kriya Shema, that is the Issur of Lo Tosur. Okay? So that's the Chai Adam. I think that's a fascinating ha'ara.
Yes, Henry? Would this apply to Yontov Sheni as well as the same Gezerah, because there we have a lot more, you know, recent latitude, and I'm one who benefits.
No, but I don't think it's, I think the question of, do you have to keep Yontov Sheni or not? I don't think any poskim relate to that as if, okay, it's a suffix, so we'll be Mekil. I think, the facts are the facts, right? Yontov Sheni is Drabanan. It's not a good example of these things because we make brachos on Yontov Sheni and we shouldn't. Right, and we make brachos because everybody understands that if you have a seder, a second seder, without making bar priya gafen and without making an alachilas matzah, no one's going to take it seriously. So baked into the idea of Yontov Sheni is the idea that we want to do things seriously and want to pretend that it's a real Yontov. So it's not a good example of a drabanan because Yontov Sheni is like a chumrah based on other drabanans because people wouldn't observe it otherwise. The Rambam says beferish. You make a bracha on Yom Tov Sheni, notwithstanding the fact that it's a drabanan, because no one's going to keep Yom Tov Sheni if there aren't drabanans. No one's going to keep Yom Tov Sheni if you don't make brachos. No one's going to keep Yom Tov Sheni if you don't go to shul and have chazar sashatz, which itself is a suffek drabanan. So it sort of lives in a different category. Okay.
By the way, I'm switching you over to be to when the shir ends, you'll just say stop recording. Okay.
What if I stop recording without actually saying the holy words, stop recording? Would that be okay? All right.
And that's sure.
Okay. Chai Adam now. We're in the third line since. So he says, Kach tiknu chazal. Sha'af al pi sha'osu midoraisa lavor alav. Mi kol makom yihyes sfeiko lekula. He says, it's true. It's an issur d'oraisa to reject the halacha. But when chazal made the gzera of kitnios, the assumption is, like with all other gzeras of Chazal, they said, with respect to this gzerah, a suffek can be machria lekula. V'lachein, bishas adchak. Now it gets serious. So he says, therefore, since I know that practically speaking, if I'm not rejecting the authority of Chazal, it's a suffek. So he says, v'lachein, bishas adchak, she'ein la'adam ma'la echol, ela bidochak gadol. Let's say there's a famine, as happened in the time of the Chaya Adam. And people simply didn't have what to eat. So mutar livashel kitnios ushadvarim. So in that circumstance, it'd be mutar to eat kitnios. Not because it's, you know, it's when you call that again in Hebrew. When it's not because it's pikuach nefesh. I sort of lost myself for a second. Not because it's pikuach nefesh, because it's a first cousin of pikuach nefesh, because Jews have to eat. Umi kal makom bidiyeved. Same thing we saw in the Ramah. Nevertheless, he says bidiyeved im nafal davar me'elu l'tocha tavshil mutar im yesh rov beheter kinegdam ve'eino be'en. He says if some portion of kidneys accidentally fell into the pot that you're cooking, it's batel berov. It's true, chametz isn't batel b'mashehu on Pesach, but it's not chametz. So as much as the Chaye Adam is machmir with respect to kidneys, and by the way, you should know, the Chaye Adam had suggested, and he was beaten down by other poskim, that maybe potatoes should be included in the gzera of kidneys. That, of course, would be a complete disaster for us, right? So now, this yields what I think, and I'm not a post-take, and no one should listen to me, but I'm just going to speak out loud. It yields what I think is the following. When you go into a store, and it says that the iced tea is kosher la'ochle kidneyos bilvad, I think you can eat it, or in this case, drink it. Why? Okay, because there's 2%, you know, corn oil in iced tea. That's kidneyos. L'chol hadeos, that's kidneyos. But it's batel berov, right? 98% of the iced tea is not kidneyos. So it's batel berov. Now you'll say to me, and you'll say correctly so, but what about the din of ein mevatlin iser l'chatchila, right? In all the examples that the Ramah gave and that the Chaye Adam gave, okay, something fell into the pot that had chametz. So b'di'eved, we say it's mutter. But nothing fell into the kidney house. It's in the ingredient. It's in the ingredients. Yeah, but that's where I think the benefit is. Because for Sfardim, it's mutter. You're not mevatel isur l'chatchila. The iced tea is intended to be sold to Sfardim. And I think, you know, my sense is it's a chumra yisera that we're not going to eat the iced tea. And we're not going to eat the yogurt, and we're not going to eat the jello, and we're not going to eat the chips, when the fact of the matter is, you know, there's no taste of kidneys in it. There's no significant amount of kidneys in it, and it's batel berov. Now, with respect to bamba, you know, even if it's only 40% of the package, okay, it's peanuts. Everybody knows it's peanuts. I wouldn't eat that no matter what. But with respect to things that don't have the taste of kidneys, I don't think the Xera applies. I really don't. Morty, you want to say something?
So the question is how they made the Xera and what context? Because we don't have the concept of Bittul Rov by Chametz, right? So the question is
1,000%. That's correct.
That's all.
Okay. Okay, now. Now we come to the question of expanding on the Xera of Kitnios. Which, you know, I don't see the purpose of. I don't know why we would, but it comes up from time to time. Can we add something new, right? You know, rapeseed oil, things like, you know, new types of oil come up all the time. So it turns out this was a major, major machlokas in the time of Rav Kook. Okay, and Rav Kook and the Charedim, you know, basically there is a way to make kidneys oil before the kidneys come in contact at all with any water. When you ground up, you know, kidneys beans, and it turns into oil without any chashash of chametz, because, you know, the water doesn't come into contact with it until after the oil already exists. So that happens to be the process existed in Rav Kook's time. This is in the 1900s. There was a bakery or some entity, two brothers who produced it, and Rav Kook gave them a hechsher, and the Charedim went berserk. It was one of the times they really attacked Rav Kook. It was really ugly, and Rav Kook, you know, answered them halachically, but then he said something really fascinating. This is much more philosophic, and this touches on, I don't know, you know, the types of Jews we are, and chumros and kulos. So I want to read it and we can discuss. Source number 9, says Rav Kook, V'od, Forget the halacha, he says. Shehamosif isur al isur she'ein ikaro mehadin. When you're gozer a gzeira to a gzeira, which doesn't really exist, meaning this gzeira, let's say, you're not allowed to eat kidneys. Fine. What about with respect to kidneys extracts? So you're such a frum guy, you're going to say, I'm going to expand the gzeira to cover extracts as well. So he says, first of all, you should know, it's also to do that. Yesh chashash she'over b'lava b'michlal aseh. That's an iser of a lava b'michlal aseh. Why? So you look in Rashi, in Beitza, he says as follows. Ha'dam rinan b'kule ashas she'en gozrin gzeira l'gzeira. We say all over the place in the Gemara that you can't make a gzeira to a gzeira. You can't say, well, since you could say Kriya Shema till 9:05 in the morning, I'm going to say no. You can only say Shema till 8:30. You're not allowed to do that. Mehai kra nafka. You learn from a pasuk. Ushmartem et mitzvah et mishmarti. Asum mishmeret kilomar gizera le mishmarti le torotai velo mishmeret le mishmeret shelo yasu gzera le gzera. So says Rav Kook, you're not allowed to make a gzera to protect a pre-existing gzera. So first of all, he thought it was just wrong to do that. Now, ukineged ma shekatfu shetzarich lahachmir yoter v'yoter bidoreinu. And with respect to that which my opponents are saying, specifically in our generation, when people are not that frum, we have to be more machmir. He said as follows. Sha'ani yodea borur tichunat b'nei doreinu. Rav Kook says, don't lecture me on what chilonim are like. I know what chilonim are. Shedavka al yidei ma sheyiru. Shekol ma sheyesh lahatir al pi omek hadin. Matirin anachnu, says Rav Kook. When chilonim see that if it's possible to be matir, authentically so, based on halacha, we're matir, yaskilu ladat, they'll be smart enough to understand, shema she'ein anu matirin, hu mipnei amita din Torah. They'll understand that when we aser something, it's because we really think it's aser. Not because we don't know, and not because we want to protect gzeira, but because we think it's aser. V'yimtzu rabim hadivekim batorah. Rav Kook says the opposite. You think we have to be more machmir. I think every place we could be mekil, we have to be mekil. Sheyishmu l'kol hamorim, because then people will say, you know what? These rabbis are telling the truth. When they prohibit something, it's because they really think it's prohibited. How do I know? Because they permitted liquid oil from kidney oats because they saw it was a gzeira l'gzeira. Amitat din Torah. I read already. Ma she'ein kein ki sheyitgale hadavar sheyeshnam dvarim ka'ele shemitzad shurat halacha ru'uyim heim lahatir v'rabanim lo chashu al tircham v'tzaram shel Yisrael. But when somebody figures out that really Rabbi X could have been matir, it didn't bother him that much that it costs us twice as much to buy oil on Pesach. It didn't bother him that much that we're having all this extra tircha and all this extra work because of his chumra. V'hinichu et hadvarim be'isuram, and he allowed the Isra to apply yotzei mizeh chas v'shalom chilul Hashem gadol me'od. The result, he says, is going to be a gigantic chilul Hashem. Ad shem mitrabim hamit parzim lomar al kama gufei Torah, right? People who are not from are going to say about a lot of halachos, Sheim harabanim rotzim, hayu yecholim lahatir. Right? You know, where there's a rabbinic will, there's a rabbinic way. Va'al yidei ze yotzei mishpat me'ukal. And the result of this is going to be, you know, a siluf ha-Torah. It's going to be very, very bad. So this is not, it's not really a halachic statement, or maybe it is. It's a philosophic statement. Says Rav Kook, if you're a Rav, and it's mutter, you have to be matir. You have to be matir because it's the halacha, but you also have to be matir because if people realize that you're not being matir when you could have, they'll lose respect for you. If you're just machmir, if every question that comes to you, you're machmir on, he says it's bad for Torah and it's bad for you. What do we think?
I wonder, going back to what you said about peanuts, then how did the OU, obviously they didn't read this, because the OU used to give hashgacha on peanut butter for on peanut oil for Pesach, and then they withdrew it. And yet peanuts are not definitively kitniot, and the oil certainly isn't.
Okay, so again, kitniot.
So how do we justify
what's
this?
What's included in kitniot is very unclear. And you're 1,000% right with respect to peanuts, and you might be right with respect to the OU. I don't think the OU is particularly courageous in their psak. I rely on the OU unquestionably, and they have a huge influence on my life and what we eat and, you know, the hashkachas that we use. But I don't think the OU agrees with Rav Kook. I think the OU is afraid.
Right.
And they don't want to be criticized from the right. And well, so it's true. I think there are heterim that the OU could use that they don't use.
Also,
but I don't know that Rav Kook is 1,000% right either. I don't know that, you know, you have to be the leading front of the heterim. Look at Rav Moshe in source number 10.
Wait, to be fair on both sides of the equation, first of all, 2 points. One is there are times in the Gemara where the Gemara says, don't publicize this halacha because it's mutter, but don't say it in public, right? Why does the Gemara say that? Because the truth is Rav Kook's position is really the position that real posts can take. But there are times when the Gemara says, oh, don't publicize this. Either you could tell, you know, whatever, whoever's in the discourse between it's not. And the second thing with the OU, they're worried if they lose the following of everybody, then everybody suffers, especially those people who are less religious. Meaning if a more religious body decides to say they're no good, and then five other brands come up, their influence and their ability to serve the whole general public is at risk. So it's a little more complicated.
Okay, I agree with both points.
It's sort of, Henry, to your point, sort of like mikvahs. Mikvahs usually take on a lot of the chumrah, so everybody feels comfortable. But you are right. They want to, you know. And Henry's on the board of the OU, so he had to say that.
Okay, but it's all right. I understand that. I really do. And in certain areas, you go, okay, fine. And in certain areas, you're very, very disappointed because you think, you know, that's not the din and it's not right. Meanwhile, let's talk about peanuts for a second. So look at source number 10. This is an actual tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein, who was less concerned with his standing in the Jewish community. He was the Posek Hador. And he just said what he thought. So he says, Be'inyan peanut, that word in source number 10, Hey Yud Nun Aleph Tes, is peanut. Im yesh bo chashash iser mina kitnios. Is it included in the gzera of kitnios or the minag of kitnios? So he says, okay, this person, tama b'tama adava mishum sheshama she'osin mimenu be'eza makom gam kemach v'gam shama she'nizra'in bistot kishar kitnios. He thinks it should be kitnios. Aval yeda kvo toroso she'ein ze inyan klal. Ramosh says, no, it's not true. She'kol ha'divarim ha'osin mehem kemach. He says, you have to be careful, says Rav Moshe. The questioner was saying to him, well, you can use peanuts to make some kind of flour. Shouldn't it be usur? So says Rav Moshe, and this is really courageous, but it's necessary. Right? There's no more obvious choice to prohibit. If you're going to say that the gzera of kidneys is anything that might be mistaken for or confused with real chametz, he says, look at potatoes. You can make anything out of potato flour. Lo rak b'medina zo, ela gam b'yurk b'mekomotenu, v'gam b'dorot ha-kodmim, ume olam lo chashu le'esor zeh. Nobody says you should aser potatoes, right? Some from kashrus organization one day is going to wake up and say, you know, the gzeira of kidneys should apply to potatoes, and therefore, you know, we're not going to give hashgacha to a hotel. all those signs and advertisements for the world's fanciest hotel that they don't have shruya, which means gebruchs. And they don't do, yeah, they have all the chumras. But you go there and they're serving waffles for breakfast and they're serving pizza and it looks exactly like chametz. So Rav Moshe says, you don't have to worry about that. But there are people who worried. For example, Rav Yoel ben Nun. Rav Yoel ben Nun, you know, he's not a posek and for obvious reasons, but he's really smart and he's really thoughtful. And he says the following. The gzera of kidneys to him is eating things on Pesach that look like chametz. And therefore, he'll eat rice, but all the cakes that we buy that are shahakol, he won't eat. He thinks that's the gzera of kidneys. You know, when you go on your Pesach program and everything looks like kidneys. Years ago, Elk and I were invited to a bar mitzvah, a weekend bar mitzvah on Shabbos HaGadol. I remember this. And we thought it'd be great. We'll have chametz, you know, on Shabbos. But the hotel was already kosher l'Pesach. Now, what do you do for hamotzi on Shabbos? Right, that's a mitzvah. I have to have lechem mishnah on Shabbos, and I don't eat matzah on erev Pesach. There's no way I'm going to eat matzah on erev Pesach. So they put on the tables the most beautiful challah rolls ever, made out of potatoes. That's not a motzi. That's a shahakol. I've never been to a fancy hotel on Pesach, but, you know, that's what they serve, and that's problematic. And says Rav Moshe, right after the dots, halfway down, V'lachein, Ein lanu b'davar ela mashe mefurash shenohagu le'esar, v'chein mashe yodeh mefursam. The only things that are included in the gzera of kidneyos are the things that are well known as being gzera of, that are included in the gzera of kidneyos. And he'll say, we don't have time to read it. You know, potatoes didn't exist, or in Europe, they didn't exist when the gzera of kidneyos was made. And Rav Moshe feels strongly. You can only aser the minhag, or the gzera can only include foods that existed at the time. Potatoes didn't exist at the time, so there's no way to aser them. Peanuts didn't exist at the time. I would like my family to eat peanuts on Pesach, to be honest with you. I'd like to eat peanuts on Pesach. My family is frumer than I am, so we don't eat peanuts. But here's Rav Moshe. You know, he says there's nothing wrong with it. It can't be part of the Gzeira if it didn't exist when the Gzeira came into being. It doesn't make any sense.
Eli Rav Shlomo Zalman also would not eat anything made with potato starch on Pesach.
Don't tell anybody that. You know the Gemara? So
It's an instance of where we see the Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman, both poskim hador, had take different positions. The other famous one is the one with the doctors traveling back and forth to the hospitals. Okay. America follows one posek. Israel follows another posek.
Okay, look at 11. Look at the Aruch HaShulchan. He says, "Ach, beferish kiblu she'im ulai yeshnat batzoret." He says the gzera included the following. That if there's going to be a famine, chas v'shalom sha'aniyim re'evim lalechem, people are hungry. Az kol chachmei ha'ir uv'rosham mar de'asra, matirim lechol kidneyos b'pesach. Zeh. Okay. So the mar de'asra will get together with other rabbanim. The RCBC will get together. They'll be matir kidneyos for that year. V'atosh nitrabu tapuchei adama, gam zeh ein echreach kiyadua. But the truth is, he says, now that we have potato starch, okay, you know, kidneys is not such a problem. Imagine a world where you didn't eat kidneys and you didn't eat potato starch. Okay, now let's go quickly. There happens to be, I found this fascinating. Other people may be offended by this. So, you know, one of the Jackies at least may want to get off now, or Henry. The conservative movement has a tshuva about this issue. And all people out there, you know, are now going to be upset because it turns out they're really conservative. Okay, here's the tshuva, conclusion of Psak Halach. Again, there's a whole discussion, and then the end of the tshuva is as follows. In order to bring down the cost of making Pesach, okay, maybe, and support the healthier diet that is now becoming more common, okay, that from people reject completely. You know, we're not healthy, we're fat, such as the as our minhag, you know, from our parents and our grandparents. And given the inapplicability today of the primary concern that seemed to have led to the custom of prohibiting kidney, right? They don't know either. But the thing, the concerns seem to not apply bizman hazeh. And further, And here's the main thing. Given our inclination in our day to present an accessible Judaism, unencumbered by unneeded prohibitions, right? We're trying to streamline halacha, you know, we're trying to be matir things, more easily able to participate in the culture that surrounds us, right? We want to eat with non-kosher friends on Pesach. We are prepared to rely on the fundamental observance recorded in the Talmud and codes and permit the eating of kitniyos on Pesach. Now, the truth is, it's not a well-known tshuva, and nobody goes around saying, hey, the conservative movement was matir kitniyos, we should be matir kitniyos also. But I just feel the need to point out to you that it's not that I can't be matir kitniyos because conservatives were matir kitniyos, but there's something to it. There is something to observing minhagim and keeping gzeros that don't make sense to us anymore. It's a week. It's not the biggest deal in the world. Yes, I myself would love to have rice on Pesach, but there's something to the fact that, okay, my father didn't, my grandfather didn't, my great-grandfather didn't, you know, going all the way back. We're Ashkenazim, whether it made sense or not. That's what Ashkenazim did. It's an inconvenience. It really is an inconvenience. And, you know, maybe because we live in Israel or because my wife is pushing for it, we do, you know, I think, they'll tell me if I'm wrong, Elka, when the eighth day of Pesach was Shabbos, so we ate rice. In Israel, it's not Pesach. No, in Israel, it's not Pesach. You're allowed to have rice in your house, right? So people who interact with halacha and who are serious about it, you know, Elka also wants to serve rice Erev Pesach. It's not so clear. It's not so clear. The Rav Asher said it's Asher. I don't know where he got it from, so we don't do it. But the idea of making the point that rice is not chametz, we don't eat it on Pesach, I think it's, you know, I think she's onto something. I think if we ate, you know, we ate rice on Erev Pesach at this, you know, the suda that you have because you can't eat during the day and you're hungry, like, first of all, it would be filling. Right, you can't have matzah on Erev Pesach. So you got to have something that's filling. So great, you could start with the potatoes, but you get sick of potatoes and they don't really do the trick. Right? If we had lamb chops, which we have Erev Pesach, zecher lekarban Pesach, and you know an onion rice or something, would be fantastic. Okay, poskim say otherwise. I'm not a posek. I accept it completely. But the idea that there are things we could do and we don't, I think that's part of being from. All right. Anyway, basically what we saw was that. The main point is kitniyos is not chametz. Kitniyos is a gzeira. Almost certainly from the 1000s or the 900s, we saw that there's no original gzeira. We saw the smak say that it's a minhag kadum. It's hard to know exactly what that is, but presumably we also saw that people that from Jews have been complaining about the gzeira of kitniyos, you know, at least from the 1200s and certainly through the 1500s and certainly, you know, in the 2000s. Nevertheless, the gzera held, but it's important to recognize there's a difference between chametz and kitniyos. Kitniyos we don't eat because of a gzera, because of a minhag. We're allowed to keep kitniyos. We're allowed to store kitniyos. We could buy kitniyos lechatchila before Pesach. There's nothing to worry about. And ultimately, that last point, which is a minimum of kitniyos that gets mixed in with a massive amount of kashal Pesach food, if it gets mixed in for you, b'di'evet, it's completely mutter. You don't have to throw it out. And for people in Israel and people who shop with Sfardim, even the chatchila, I would claim that it's mutter. But, you know, that's just me. No one listen to me. Yashkach to everyone. Have a great, great shop.
Where do you think it'll be in Israel in 10 years from now? You think they'll still hold?
Yeah, I think 10 years ago people complained. I think it'll stay, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. I find it hard to believe that any responsible posek is going to get up and say, you know, let's get rid of. At this point, you have to get rid of it, and there's no mechanic to get rid of it. And mm-hmm. The only reason to do it, again, in Israel, there's a slight reason that I want to be able to eat with my Sephardi friends.
Right.
Okay. There's much more intermarriage in that sense than there is in America. Like that strikes me as a real argument. But the convenience that I'm hungry.
Also, the advent of matzah pizza or pizza that looks just like rolls, that just look exactly like rolls, right? Today, you got to say, what's the point though of kitniyot if that exists? You know.
Let me say this: I think it's more likely that you get a haircut than that they're going to get rid of kidneys.
Good luck.
Ellie. Yes. Ellie, to get back to the corn, is it because you can have corn flour? Is that why it was issued? Corn meal?
I think so. That's my only guess. Right. It has to be something that could be confused with.
And green beans? I mean, like, you know, it just seems to me it goes.
I'm in the wrong
chaos. Because they're called beans. I don't know. I really don't know.
I mean, the wrong chaos, I think, specifically called out mustard.
Okay. And mustard is kidneys because?
I don't
again,
know.
Again, beans.
I don't know. I don't know either. I really don't know. I keep the rules. All right. Have a great Shabbos. Bye, everybody.
Shabbos, everyone.
Okay. This is the end of the recording.
Well done.
Thank you.